I will be reading Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, you will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn to tear you to pieces.
Be pumped up. Now can I deliver that? According to the 2014 State of the Bible report by the Barna Group, fewer than half of all adults can name the four Gospels. Many professing Christians can identify more than two or three of the disciples. 60% of Americans cannot name five of the Ten Commandments. 82% of Americans believe God helps those who help themselves is a Bible verse. 12% of adults believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. A survey of graduating high school seniors revealed that over 30% thought that Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. A considerable number of respondents to one poll indicated that Billy Graham preached the Sermon on the Mount. According to one Bible professor, one of his freshmen thought that Joshua, son of Nun, was actually the son of a nun. Now, I know that many in our culture do not know a great deal about the Bible, but they all seem to know one verse. That one verse used to be John chapter 3, verse 16, the football stadium verse. But everyone's favorite verse is Matthew 7, verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. That seems to be a verse that many in our world know. I'm going to summarize Jesus' teaching here in Matthew 7, verses 1 to 6 with two phrases. Bad judging prohibited, good judging practiced. Bad judging prohibited, good judging practice. Matthew 7 deals with three kinds of judgments or criticisms. That was the text that you just heard read this morning. Let's begin in Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. We'll call the first one destructive judgment. Destructive. As I indicated, if there's any passage I've heard people who didn't even study the Bible or read the Bible quote, this is probably the passage. If somebody brings up something, they will say, wait a minute, don't judge me. Don't you know the Bible says that you are not to judge other people? Well, what did the Lord have in mind when he said, don't judge or you too will be judged? Was he saying that there was not any time that we're to make any evaluations, any kind, any judgment, whether of ideas or habits or character or anything, any time, about any person or anything? Let me share a passage from Jesus in John chapter 7, verse 24. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Now, all of this put together means that there is a right way and a wrong way to go about making evaluations and judgments. What was our Lord saying here in Matthew 7, 1 and 2? We do not need to go around other people and act as if we are righteous persons. And I believe the Lord is saying, do not be harsh with people. And if we have to bring judgments, don't do it joyfully. I read about the experience of a certain young bachelor who every time he brought a prospective wife home, his mother criticized her unmercifully. And the young man was at his wit's end when a friend offered him this advice: find someone like your mother. So he looked and looked until he found one. She looked like his mother. She talked like his mother, even thought like his mother. It was amazing. So he took her home. The next time he saw his friend who had given him this advice, and he was asked how his mother liked the girl, he answered, "It went great. My mother loved her, but my father could not stand her." What kind of judgment is righteous judgment? Any judgment we make needs to be redemptive in its nature. And he wants us to deal with other people in a spirit of kindness. So what Jesus wants us to be concerned about, or concerned about destructive judgment or criticism, and if we have to confront someone, make sure that we do it out of the right spirit and for the right reason, and make sure that we know all the facts. I read about an owner of a manufacturing plant who decided to make a surprise tour of the shop. Walking through the warehouse, he noticed a young man just lazily leaning up against some packing crates with his hands in his pocket, doing nothing. The boss walked up to him and he angrily said, "Just how much are you paid a week?" Well, the young man's eyes got rather big and he said, $300. Well, the boss pulled out his wallet, took out three $100 bills, gave it to him and said, "Here's a week's pay. Now get out of here and don't ever come back." Well, without a word, the young man put the money in his pocket and took off. The warehouse manager was standing nearby, staring somewhat in amazement. The boss walked over to him and said, "How long has this man been working for us?" The manager said, "He didn't work here. He was just delivering a package." When we offer criticism or judgments, do it with the right spirit, the right reason, and make sure that we know all the facts. Verse 3 of Matthew 7, "Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Here Jesus is talking about what I will call a deluded kind of judgment. And as I read these verses, it seems to me that Jesus had a sense of humor. And that kind of humor here exaggerates something. What if you went to see the doctor and you're sitting in the waiting room rubbing your eye because a little speck of sawdust has gotten in your eye? And you're rubbing your eye and the doctor walks out and he has a 2x4 sticking out of his eye. And he walks up and he says, "What's wrong?" "Well, I've got a little bit of sawdust in my eye." And he says, "Well, let me help you get it out." "Well, what is that in your eye? What do you mean? What is that long thing sticking out of your eye?" "Nothing in my eye. Let me help you." "No, thank you. If you want to help me, first get that 2x4 out of your eye." Well, that is the way judgment is sometime. And I think the key word here in verse 3 is why. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye? Why are you doing this? What is your motive? One reason a person tries to pass judgment to another person is because it's a kind of diversionary tactic. If I attack you, that keeps your eye off me. The second key word in verse 4, when Jesus says, "How can you say to your brother?" On what grounds are you able to do this? In verse 5, he uses the word hypocrite. Hypocrite was a Greek actor. He was one who was acting like something that he really wasn't. You're over here acting like you're a godly person, but the real truth is that you are looking for something to criticize. A retired military officer reminisced about an inspection he conducted. He approached an E-2 private freshly arrived from his basic training in the States. He stopped face to face in front of this young man whose pulse was seen or could be seen throbbing in his throat. And the first thing that caught this officer's eye was an unbuttoned pocket on the shirt of the young man's enlisted uniform. And the officer barked out in his best command voice, "Button that pocket, soldier." The young soldier turned three shades of red. He looked left, he looked right, and sheepishly asked, "Right now, sir?" The officer said, "Of course, right now. When did you think I meant for you to do it?" Well, the young soldier handed the officer his weapon and with both hands trembling, reached out and buttoned the flap of the officer's shirt pocket. Why are we so quick to see the speck in a brother's eye and not aware of the plank that may be in our own eye? And then verse 6, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs. Do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." We'll call this a discerning judgment. Wild dogs and pigs were both unclean to the Jews. The dogs tear you to pieces, while the pigs are more likely to trample something into the ground. And I believe Jesus is saying we need to learn to be discerning. And we need to learn so that we do not expose that which is holy to those who do not have any appreciation for it. Now, it does not mean that we're not concerned about people in our world. But we are to be discerning as we share the gospel, and we do not put what is holy in a place where it can be trampled and stomped on by those who do not appreciate it. We do not, of course, try to force the gospel upon people if they are not interested. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye"? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Let me conclude with some basic principles for judging. Number one, love. Love is always slow to expose. It's always eager to believe the best, always hopeful, always patient. The faults of others will appear thick if our love for them is thin. Number two, practice the golden rule. Substituting think and judge for do in this passage makes it read, "Whatever you would that men should think and judge of you, do so to them." Number three, examine self. Upon examining self, we will see that there is so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the best of us that it little behooves any of us to talk about the rest of us. When looking at for faults, let me suggest that you use a mirror and not a telescope. Number four, look for the good in others. Be a Barnabas and see the good in others as he did with Paul and as he did with John Mark. Number five, put yourself in the other person's shoes. The old prayer, "Help me never to judge a brother until I have walked a couple of weeks in his shoes." You remember Ezekiel sat where others sat before he issued his warning. And number six, remember that our judgments are often wrong. Eliab misjudged the motives of David. Nathanael was wrong in his judgment about Jesus of Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? The 2.5 tribes of Israel were misjudged by the other 9.5 tribes concerning an altar that they had built. And then, number seven, consider what judging will do to you. It will often blind you to your own faults. By the way, I attended a Relationships Matters conference last week. And I came home and I said to Donna, I learned 3 things that I should work on. But here are 17 things you need to work on. Can I share them with you right now? Jesus said the words that he had spoken would judge us in that last day. Let's make sure that we are familiar with those words of Jesus Christ. And if you need to obey the Lord today, if that means you come in trusting faith with a repentant spirit or willing to confess that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and then to be buried with him in the waters of baptism, to be raised up to walk in newness of life, we offer you that opportunity to do that this morning. If you're here this morning and you desire the prayers of the congregation, we're always here to pray with you, to pray for you, to help you, to encourage you in any way that we possibly can. And so if there's anyone here today who is subject to our Lord's invitation, we would invite you to come right now as we stand together and sing.